Previously undisclosed documents are calling attention to an essential question about Central Maine Power's preferred route for its 141-mile power line through Maine's western woods. Does the lease of state lands along the entire route require approval by two-thirds of the legislature? Fred Beber has this story.
In the course of considering a possible alternate route for the CMP project last year, then-director of the Bureau of Parks and Lands, Tom Desjardins, sought guidance from the Attorney General's office. He wanted to know whether his route would trigger a requirement voters added to the Maine Constitution 25 years ago, that a two-thirds vote of the legislature is needed to significantly change the use of state lands that are designated for conservation or recreation.
My request of the AG's office was, are we allowed legally to lease this piece of land for this purpose, meaning the corridor?
According to documents obtained by Maine Public, Assistant Attorney General Lauren Parker concluded that in the case of Desjardins' hypothetical lease, it would be legal to avoid legislative approval as long as the agency determined that the project would be managed appropriately and would not, quote, significantly alter the reserved lands. Desjardins floated the alternate route idea to the Mills administration, according to other documents, but it drew little interest. Andy Kutko, the new director of the Bureau of Parks and Lands, now says that same memo on the hypothetical lease for what's called the Coldstream parcel is now being used to justify an earlier Bureau decision in 2014 to lease a separate state parcel on CMP's preferred route without seeking legislative approval.
It's our understanding that the lease across Coldstream was similar enough to that granted in 2014 that the same situation applies, that is, that the director of BPL at the time had the discretion to grant that lease, that it was fully within the Bureau director's discretion, and that it did not have to go through a two-thirds vote in the legislature.
Meanwhile, the newly unearthed information has caught the attention of opponents of the CMP transmission project.
The Parker memo talks about what constitutes a substantial change in use that requires this vote by the legislature.
Kathy Johnson is a lawyer with the Natural Resources Council of Maine, which has filed briefs on the two-thirds vote question in state permit proceedings that are now underway.
One of the things the memo says is beyond question that clear-cutting an area and erecting poles and a transmission line is a physical alteration of the land that is constitutes part of what is a substantial change in use.
The Parker memo addresses a specific hypothetical question about state lands that were purchased through Lands for Maine Future funds, while the lease CMP actually secured for its preferred route is for property the state got through a land grant from Massachusetts dating back to 1860. NRCM's Kathy Johnson says the same constitutional standard requiring legislative approval applies in both cases. But CMP Vice President Thorne Dickinson says the standard should not apply to the lands leased in 2014, and he notes that the lease itself includes language requiring them to be managed under standards set by state regulators.
It was clear to us, anyway, from the negotiations that we had with the state, that they were very mindful of the statutory requirements and acted in accordance with them and the signature of the lease.
During the permitting process earlier this year, a state hearing officer ruled that the question of a two-thirds legislative vote would ultimately have to be decided in court, and after initial filings, he closed the record to further arguments on the issue. But some are calling for a separate airing. Seth Berry, a Bodenham Democrat and frequent critic of CMP, co-chairs the legislature's Energy and Utilities Committee. He says the legislature was never provided notice of the lease that he can find, and that at minimum, it should consider the question in its next session.
I do think that the 2014 lease should be considered null and void until we've had a chance to really vet it and make sure that it is above board, that it is legal, and it is constitutional.
Berry and others also argue that CMP isn't paying enough for its lease of state lands, just under $3,700 a year. That compares to an initial payment of $1 million CMP promised for a parcel owned by the Passamaquoddy tribe, and more recently, an easement across lands owned by Yale University that will raise project costs by $950,000. Former Wilton State Senator Tom Saviello, a leader in a group of project opponents, says that alone merits review by lawmakers and the Mills administration.
The Bureau should suspend the lease anyway and renegotiate it. We don't need to be taken to the cleaners on this one, and that's really what's happening.
CMP's Thorne Dickinson says the annual rent for the state parcel, which breaks down to about $100 an acre, is based on an independent appraiser's assessment.
We have a signed lease that we think is valid, and we'll keep moving forward. And we believe this project is important not only for Maine's future, but for all of New England as we battle climate change. And to the degree that people want to stand in the way of that, we'll do our best to educate them on the benefits of the project and, where necessary, fight the fight in order to this project go to the finish line.
Members of the Mills administration declined requests for comments. In an email, a spokesman says the administration was not involved in negotiations over the power line's route and that state regulators are making independent evaluations. The Land Use Planning Commission recently deadlocked over whether to approve CMP's initial plan to route the line near a wilderness pond. CMP has now proposed a way around that. A decision is possible next month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can see some of the documents involved here and that map of the hypothetical alternate route online at mainepublic.org.